Head ball coach Steve Spurrier here, and I know just how stressful it can be when time is tight and you need points on the board. Well, just like my fun and gun offense, AmeriFactors is a fast-moving game winner when it's fourth down and your business can't afford a funding fumble. Providing up to 98% of receivables in as little as 24 hours, your business can get the cash flow it needs to make payroll, hire new talent, or purchase equipment faster than ever. Best of all, funds come directly from your unpaid invoices, so there's absolutely nothing to pay back. And if your clients don't pay, AmeriFactors is your defensive line taking the hit. With over 29 years of successfully funding businesses, you know AmeriFactors is a name you can trust to score big and score fast.
800-478-6084. 800-478-6084. 800-478-6084. That's 800-478-6084.
Welcome into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline, the interactive radio network program with the latest in high-tech products and services and the experts who bring them to you. This is Into Tomorrow. Here's Dave Graveline.
For the weekend after Halloween of November 2nd, 2018, thank you for tuning in to Tomorrow. As the dude just said, I am Dave Graveline. Here in the studio with me,
Chris Graveline.
And Beth working out of Naples this week. Erasmo in the control room here in Miami. And Joe in Atlanta. And we've got Horatio in New York. We're just scattered all over the planet to bring you the latest in consumer tech. And we appreciate you tuning in. Appreciate you even more when you call into the program. And I know you'll call not just because you're going to win some fabulous prizes, but because you make the show. Your calls, questions, help for other listeners, add some input to answers we've already provided. We don't know everything, and we certainly don't have time to address all the kinds of things we'd like to with every call. But you contributing to the information is very helpful. And some of our favorite calls, listeners helping other listeners. It's awesome. Tech news and commentary in this segment. Of course, still more big news in terms of Apple this past week, having announced a whole bunch of cool new things. And if you drink the Apple Kool-Aid, you probably already know about them. Like the new MacBook Air, Retina display, no more bezel. The screen goes all the way to the edge. And, of course, 13.3-inch 4K screen. Thank you very much. A lot of other features on this thing.
It's got Touch ID and Apple's secure computing chip, the T2. And unlike the MacBook, the USB-C ports are Thunderbolt compatible.
Oh, I'm impressed. Yes. Battery, the company says 12 hours of wireless web browsing and 13 hours of iTunes movie playback. Interesting.
Does that mean you get less if you're watching something that's not on iTunes?
Yeah. I don't know how that is. It's like, hey, if you're using iTunes, which is our thing, then you get an hour extra.
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense.
And apparently it's been hitting the gym because it's 2.75 pounds compared to the previous 3 pounds.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
They're claiming, of course, Apple being a really green company. This is the greenest Mac ever, which I thought would look odd being a green laptop. But no. They mean environmentally. It's all the tin on the motherboard is from recycled material, and 35% of the plastic is post-consumer. That sounds a little weird to me, but okay, maybe I get my mind out of the gutter. And now the aluminum alloy in the shell is also made from 100% recycled aluminum.
The polar bears love it.
The polar bears love it. And your new MacBook Air could have been your old beer cans.
Ooh.
Ah, think about that.
It's got 8 gig of memory, an Intel i5 chip, and 125 gigabytes of internal storage. Of course, it starts at in typical Apple fashion at just about $1,200.
Jeez.
It's on sale now, and it also ships on November 7th.
Wow, which all their other products that they announced are also allegedly available on the 7th. So you can be the first on your block to stand in line and get something at your nearby Apple store.
You just got to figure what you want more, the Apple MacBook Pro or your $1,200. I'd pick the $1,200.
Yeah.
But that's just me.
Because you can get a real powerful kick-butt PC.
I could get a couple of them.
Yeah. Well, and then have more money to spend on other stuff, like accessories and fun things and maybe games and whatnot. But in this case, or $1,200 only for the Apple product.
I mean, I could get a lot of pizzas for $1,200.
Yeah, but it would have that that piece of fruit on it, so a lot of people want to have that. I know Erasmo is going, all right, enough already. He's an Apple fan. Everything Apple. Everything. His apartment is Apple. His phone, his laptops, everything. Oh, well. But, hey, some people do like them. How often do you upgrade your phone? And I don't mean you. I mean everyone listening. According to trade-in company Hyla Mobile, American consumers now go 2.83 years. That's about 34 months on average between smartphone upgrades. Now, that's an increase from 2.39-year average 2 years ago. Change structures of phone contracts from wireless companies, and, of course, higher device costs are among the contributing factors to longer device lifespans. And I think if you're spending upwards of $1,000 for, like, Samsung Galaxy Note 9, or $1,200 for the newer iPhone, big one, and all that kind of stuff, then, yeah, you're probably going to use it longer than you might have otherwise. So now you're averaging almost a year and a half. No, almost 2.5 years, actually, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Well, with the prices of phones these days, no wonder you have to hold on to them for that long.
Yeah, of course. I mean, most people are thinking, you know, it ain't broke, don't fix it. And you've always had the right attitude of when there's a new phone announced, you'll buy the one previous, right? Because it's still new, and it's new to you, and it's new in the box. So you get the warranty and everything.
Last year when they released the iPhone 10, I upgraded to the iPhone 8.
Right. So you're only a little behind.
Only a little behind. And yeah. Then maybe next year, maybe I'll, if there's any 10s left, I'll upgrade to that one. Because apparently I don't know if they're making them anymore.
Well, they only have like, what, 27 models of the iPhone 10 now?
Yeah.
X's and R's and PDQs and just everything imaginable. So probably there will be some left. So next year you can have a 10.
There you go.
Whoop-de-doo.
Now, when you're a billionaire, you can apparently afford to tweet about whatever you want.
I guess so.
Tesla's chief executive officer, Elon Musk, said that his infamous tweet about taking the company private at $420 a share, which apparently was a reference to marijuana that he hoped would make his girlfriend laugh, was worth it. That tweet.
To get the Securities and Exchange Commission on you and everything else.
Yeah. That tweet, which was sent in August, cost Musk and Tesla $20 million apiece as part of a fraud settlement with the Securities and Exchange Commission and led him to resigning as chairman of Tesla's board of directors for the next 3 years. Now, with 88,000 likes and a $20 million fine, that works out to about $227 per like that apparently he bought. of course, that fine is pocket change for Musk, who has a net worth of about $22 billion.
Yeah, of course. It's not that big a deal for him because he can afford it. But still, he's done a lot of very cool things. You know, love the rockets, love the fact that the boosters land back down to Earth or on a barge when they work. But a lot of them have now. A lot of cool stuff. The cars are neat, you know. But come on, just don't utter stupid things. There's a lot of folks that tweet stupid stuff. Yeah. It shouldn't be done. You know, catch yourself. Get a staff together to say, okay, I want to tweet about this. Don't do it yourself. Let them massage it, think about it, figure out the best way to do it, where preferably you won't get in trouble, and take it from there.
Yeah.
Maybe that would be a good idea.
Uh-huh. No. Sam's Club, the members-only store owned by Walmart, is taking a page from Amazon's playbook by opening an experimental cashier-less Sam's Club Now store in Texas. Despite doing away with traditional cashiers, Sam's Club Now isn't quite as automated as the Amazon Go locations. Users will use a new Sam's Club Now app to scan their items as they walk through the store, and there will be a final scan from a staff member as you exit to complete your purchase. They say it's almost like turning the entire store into a continuous self-checkout stand. Mm-hmm. Now, in the future, Sam's Club Now is planning to add electronic shelf labels that will instantly update prices and take advantage of the over 700 cameras in the club to better manage inventory.
But they're going to check every item that you've self-checkout at the door anyway?
Well, I'm not sure what they meant by a final scan from a staff member. It's, you know, maybe...
maybe random scans to make sure they're on the receipt or something.
Yeah.
But, wow. Interesting.
We'll see. And apparently, you know, having more than 700 cameras inside each store to you know, they say to keep an eye on inventory, but it's, I guess, better manage their customers.
Yeah. Well, that's keeping an eye on inventory.
Well, that's true.
Because it's the customers that would be removing the inventory. No overall cure yet.
No. And no word about whether or not these will ever come to a Walmart store.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Don't hold your breath for that. Holy cow. Microsoft says that its Cortana Assistant. Do you ever use Cortana?
No.
I never have either. I've tried it a couple of times, and it's more useless than helpful. But Microsoft claims Cortana has fielded 18 billion questions worldwide, and that Windows runs on 1.5 billion machines, that I believe. That places Microsoft behind Google with 2 billion Android devices globally and ahead of Apple with 1.3 billion iOS devices. So that's kind of interesting. Think about this. It's Google with Android. Now it's Microsoft with Cortana. Then it's Apple. Siri must be turning over in her phone grave. Mm-hmm.
The last assistant I ever used from Microsoft was Clippy.
Now, not only are you dating yourself, but you're telling us that that's very bizarre that you even use Clippy.
I use Clippy.
Tapping on the screen?
I use Clippy, and for a while there was an Einstein-like character that was kind of cool to use, and it was fun.
See, Rosmo's looking at us like we're nuts because he's a Mac guy, and he didn't have that. You never saw Clippy, a giant paperclip that would tap on the screen, and you'd have the ting, ting, ting. You know, I'm here to help. What do you need help with? Nothing. Go away.
These were like the old versions of Word from like the late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah, that's funny.
Google and iRobot have announced that they're working together to improve smart home technology using mapping data collected by iRobot's robot vacuums. Now, they say the aim is to make smart homes, quote, more thoughtful.
Yeah. Now, the aim is not, allegedly, to share the mapping data of your home with a potential burglar or anything.
Yeah.
So supposedly, you have no fear there, but...
Right. And they plan on doing this by leveraging the unique data that's collected by the iRobot, the maps of your homes. iRobot's latest Roomba, the i7 Plus, creates maps using a combination of odometry data, which is basically measuring how far the Roomba's wheels move, and low-res camera imagery. Now, if there's one thing I don't really want a camera on, it's a robotic vacuum that's roaming around my house. Now, the resulting maps
can... It's looking for dust and dirt and crumbs.
Yeah, but it's also looking for me in my underwear.
Yeah, jeez.
And trust me, nobody wants to see that.
Oh, God.
They say the resulting maps can be used to create custom cleaning schedules or to let users ask their Roomba to vacuum specific rooms. An integration with Google Assistant lets customers give verbal commands like, okay, Google, tell Roomba to clean the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
I've tried
Because your Roomba will have mapped the kitchen. So
and
if there's
a, know right where it is.
Yeah.
Then,
you know. If there's a spill or something, you don't need it to do the whole house. You don't need to go get it, pick it up, bring it to the kitchen. You can just... allegedly tell it to clean the kitchen.
Right.
And it goes right to the kitchen, does the job.
I've tried telling Alexa to clean my kitchen, and she just laughs at me.
Really?
Yeah.
She won't get out of her little box and clean the kitchen?
She tells me to get off my lazy butt.
Now, that's what she should say. That would be kind of funny, and I think very well done, very appreciative in the long run. That's interesting. Let's talk to a caller. How about Ed in Nashville, Tennessee, listens on Super Talk WTN 99.7 FM. Hello, Ed. Welcome into tomorrow.
Very simply, will the iPhone SE continue to be compatible and usable in the coming years? You know, not the 8 or X or whatever, but the SE, the simple one.
Well, Ed, that's really kind of hard to say. Apple is no longer selling the SE, and whether or not it stays supported will likely hinge on how many users they can't get to upgrade, and, of course, how much money those users represent. Realistically, the SE is a problem. The screen being so small is an issue for designing standard UI UX, and Apple will have to spend money to keep it around and expect other developers to spend money to support it too.
Now, what we know for sure is that it's supported in iOS 12 and discontinued from future sales. The end of life for the phone is not clear yet, but the 5S and SE are currently the smallest supported phones. The 5S is the oldest, too. Apple may decide not to update it to a new OS after the next release or the one after that, and they may stop patching it altogether after that. Of course, that would be normal and expected given the age of the model by then, so you probably have a couple of years left of having security updates available for the phone. After that, it may be smart to move on just because of your own risk that increases.
That's true. Now, for now, it is a supported phone, and so far we haven't heard anything about that support coming to an end anytime soon. But that could change after you hear this broadcast, because that's how they make those announcements. But remember, any company is the same. We're not picking on Apple in this case, except that's what you're asked about. Any company basically stops supporting older products after an expected lifespan. And the iPhone 5, we're already up to the 10, they skip 9, is the kind of thing that at some point, they're going to say, we just don't support it anymore, especially the screen sizes we talked about and so forth. Developers don't want to design apps that'll work on everything, including those really old screens. So it just doesn't happen.
And as a business model, it's smart. I mean, they wouldn't sell many newer phones if they keep supporting their older phones.
Yeah, exactly. But Ed, I hope we helped you out there in the long run. Still going to be good at the moment, subject to change. Your mileage may vary. Void where prohibited. All those asterisk kinds of things. But hang in there. If you've got a question, a comment, a concern, maybe help for Ed or other listeners, we do want you to call in. And if you'll be so kind as to grab the lipstick and on the nearest wall, write 800-899-4686. What, you don't have lipstick? All right, then. How about a Sharpie? Something permanent on your nearest wall, or right on the fridge even, so you have it handy. 800-899-INTO. And can we see you, please, when you have a moment, at intotomorrow.com.
What if people with type 1 diabetes had the power to manage their condition without finger sticks? To always know their glucose levels and where they're heading with just a glance at their smart device? To customize alerts and alarms to help keep them in range? All this knowledge, powered by a small wearable. Introducing the Dexcom G6. Make knowledge your superpower. For a list of compatible smart devices, visit dexcom.com/compatibility. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G6 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions.
Hey, don't keep staring at the sky trying to figure out which cloud has all of your data. Hey, cloud, you can call us for assistance. We'll be glad to help. It's not the one that's all dark and ready to rain on you. No. We'll help you with iCloud or any clouds if you're concerned about your data. That's what Into Tomorrow is here all about. We are your technology auditory gem.
I like that.
Yeah, I like the fact that a listener called us that, so we're using it. And it is Time Change Weekend. Don't forget to fall back. If you're listening on Saturday, do that tonight when you go to bed. If you're listening on Sunday, we hope you did. But did you remember all your devices? Your microwave ovens, your oven?
Yeah,
you know, that thing that you just store pans in, if you're like me?
Yeah, I never remember how many old-fashioned clock devices I have until it comes time to change the time.
Oh, of course. And every 6 months you go, "Doh!" Because it's just one of those things you have to deal with. So you have to deal with that this weekend. But you get an extra hour of sleep, or you got an extra hour of sleep, perhaps, if you look at it that way.
This portion of Into Tomorrow is brought to you in part by StreamGuys.com, providing the audio streaming for all 3 hours of Into Tomorrow via our website at intotomorrow.com.
Cold weather can cause damage to your laptop or cell phone. We don't have that problem here in Miami. Well, we actually went down to the upper 60s.
For like an hour.
The other day, a couple of hours or so, it was so nice. It was very short-lived, but it was so nice. I mean, come on. We're in Miami. We don't get that. And if you are somewhere around the country or anywhere in the world where you're really cold, maybe there's snow on the ground or something, send us some, won't you? Because we would like the cool air. Fill a thermos with snow and FedEx it to us or something. It would be awesome. We'll share it. Okay, make it a big thermos.
You know, I think Ken is waiting very patiently.
Oh, that's true, because he's got some tips to protect your devices from harm, especially the cold weather, Ken.
Thanks, Dave. Winter is coming, and while people know hot weather can be a threat to their devices, cold weather poses risk as well. Freezing temperatures have an impact on your laptop or cell phone's battery. Lithium-ion batteries need to be at room temperature before charging. so make sure to warm them up before plugging them into charge to avoid damage and possible fire. Hard disk drives can have issues as well when exposed to freezing temperatures, which could cause potential damage to platters and read-write heads. And beware when bringing your device in from the cold into a warm room. Condensation can form and damage your sensitive electronic devices. So remember, stay warm this winter and protect your electronic devices by keeping them out of the cold. And now, back to you, Dave.
Well, thank you, Ken Higgins. He's always a wealth of information, and we invite you to visit his site at owcdigital.com for more tips and info and great products and cool stuff. But we always love his gems of hints and tips and concerns for our digital devices.
You know, that's good to remember, because even though we don't get cold weather down here, my electronic devices personally are still subject to cold, because, you know, the last time I couldn't find my cell phone for about an hour or so, it tore my house apart, couldn't find it anywhere. I went into the refrigerator to get a drink, and
no,
it was sitting
way
there on the shelf in the refrigerator. Apparently I had put it down on the shelf to get something and then just closed the door, and so it was nice and cool for, you know, an hour or two,
so to speak, and yeah, in fact.
Yeah, at least it wasn't the freezer, because that probably would have really damaged my LCD screen.
Yeah, you can't be necessarily like throwing it in some uncooked ice, rice, to ice, see what you got me thinking, to try to warm it up. That's not going to do it.
So I've learned now that when I can't find my phone, the first place I look is the refrigerator.
Well, see, now that you're wearing a Samsung smartwatch that plays nice with your iPhone-y, just push the button that says find my phone, and it'll ring your phone and find it. Your refrigerator will be ringing all the way into tomorrow.com.
We've been fighting the war on drugs for a long time. We answer the phone 24/7, 365 days a year. On a busy night, we answer hundreds of calls. This war on drugs needs our intervention.
Since 2014, Addiction Hope and Helpline has helped people struggling with drugs and alcohol.
When the phone rings, we help people when they need it the most. When we get a caller into treatment, it feels good. It's a blessing.
If you're struggling, drinking, using, and need to get clean, don't suffer alone in silence. Call Addiction Hope and Helpline.
Our people understand, and many are also in recovery. Call for support and strength. You can call for someone who can't or isn't willing. It's an act of love. Together we can help you beat this thing and erase addiction from your vocabulary once and for all.
Call 800-665-6113, 800-665-6113, 800-665-6113.
In our 23rd year covering the latest in consumer tech, products and services, gadgets and gizmos, all kinds of things available today and into tomorrow. Welcome back into tomorrow. I'm Dave Graveline. You know, you make the show. Your calls, not just because of our huge annual big cool into tomorrow hot summer giveaway that's starting very shortly, but because we want to hear from you. We want to answer your digital dilemmas, solve the questions, the problems, the concerns that you might have involving anything with technology. And you make the show. Maybe you just want to share with us your favorite app these days, or you've got some tech rage you want to get off your chest. Don't worry, we'll bleep you. Just share with us, whatever the case, and call us anytime. Use the audio option on the free Into Tomorrow app, or it's the old-fashioned way, but it still works the best. Call us anytime, 24/7, toll-free, 800-899-INTO. That's 800-899-4686, anytime at your convenience, and we'll get you on the next show and address your concerns. Our next guest joins us from a company that for many years has been providing TVs, soundbars, speakers, all kinds of cool products. The director of product marketing for the TV group with Vizio is Carlos Angulo. Carlos, welcome into tomorrow. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. TV has been growing so dramatically the last few years, and of course, you guys at Vizio are always at the head of new tech and providing the coolest, greatest new things. So, tell me first a little bit about what you guys are working on with Vizio these days, and then let's get into some of the specifics about some cool new stuff.
Yeah, so it absolutely is an exciting time for the TV category in general. I mean, there's just so much to take in, and year over year, the improvements are drastic. So for Vizio, we launched our TV product line, and the key focus has continued to be improve our picture quality and continue to put a best-in-class smart TV platform out there.
Very cool.
Those are two key areas that we're continuing to improve year over year, and it's no different this year.
Well, and we get a lot of questions, of course, to this day, every week on the show about such things as, you know, do I really need 4K? As you know, tell me the differences between the different HD TVs. What is HDR, for example, and why does that make a difference? So let's start with that one for those listening that hear terms like HDR bantered about. What is it, and is it something we need to look for?
Yeah, so while pixel density continues to improve over time, and we went from HD to full HD and going from 2 million pixels or a million pixels to 2 million, and now with 4K, you're looking at 8 million pixels in every frame, and you're able to get more detail, you're not necessarily enhancing its brightness performance or its contrast or its color. And that's where high dynamic range comes into the picture, where high dynamic range really helps create the trifecta of improvements, right? Where you're getting all the detail that you need out of 4K, but with high dynamic range, it expands that contrast range, allowing you to take in more black detail content, and then at the same time, allowing you to see more detail in the highlights.
So a high dynamic range, of course, has a lot to do with just improving overall the picture, the images that we're seeing. And is that only for 4K, or is that for even standard HDTVs, HDR?
Well, because of these specifications around high dynamic range, it improves your entire viewing experience, whether you're watching SDR, HD, or 4K. But for the most part, you are seeing high dynamic range as a feature in 4K sets.
Mm. And that's one of the selling points these days that folks are seeing. Okay, it's kind of a buzzword, but is it something I should be paying attention to? Clearly it is, Carlos, because you're talking about how it does improve the image overall.
Yeah, absolutely. So with 4K, at a certain point, if you're standing about, let's say, 10 to 12 feet away, mm-hmm. You can no longer... The eyes can no longer discern the difference between a 4K picture or a great 1080p picture, where high dynamic range, you can actually see a difference if you're looking at a side-by-side of a 4K in standard dynamic range and a 4K picture in high dynamic range. You can actually see the intensity levels within either the spectral highlights in a picture, or you're able to actually see more detail within the shadows, right? So there's quite a bit there that it makes it easier for the eyes to actually discern the difference and the improvements versus what you can only see if a TV is only a 4K TV.
So even at a distance, even if the TV is farther away from you, you're able to pick up those differences.
That is correct.
Gotcha. Now, another buzzword or series of buzzwords we hear about TVs these days are full array local dimming. Okay, that sounds cool. But for the average consumer, what does that mean?
Yeah, so once you start talking about high dynamic range, there's different ways of implementing HDR. And what you'll see is that most sets today that are 4K actually speak the HDR language. But just because a TV speaks HDR, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're getting the full benefit of high dynamic range. And going back to the idea that high dynamic range expands the contrast, so you're able to see more details in highlights and shadows, full array local dimming is really the engine. And with Vizio, it is a technology that we first introduced 10 years ago, and we completely went full array 6 years ago all across our entire product line. And year over year, we continue to work to refine our backlight performance. But the idea there is that there's really two types of solutions. There's edge-lit backlighting and there's full-array backlighting. Edge-lit has and places the LEDs along the edge of the screen, and it uses a light guide to drive the light from the edge towards the center, where full-array drops and distributes LEDs across the entire backlight. And what Vizio has been able to do is, using local dimming technology, it has been able to intelligently map the backlight to the content on screen. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, what you end up seeing is that where the backlight detects maybe a darker zone or a darker area within the image, it'll dim that backlight down. And wherever it detects a bright area, let's say a sun, it'll intensify the backlight brightness behind that area. Ultimately, with that intelligence in the backlight, you're able to actually expand that contrast range even farther. So you're optimizing the high dynamic range performance in every TV set.
I think it speaks highly of any particular technology when a company such as yours decides that all of your displays are going to utilize, in this case, this full array local dimming, that you really believe in this particular tech.
Yeah, no, it is a product team design decision that was made a few years ago, as I mentioned, and it has been one that has really paid off. It in terms of just being able to stick to the Vizio model of offering the best picture at the best price point. And full array is really seen as a premium technology. But what our product team did is that they actually designed the entire full array backlight from the ground up in a way that they can implement this technology into every one of our sets. So everything from our most entry-level set to our step-up line to our most premium line, where typically in the marketplace you're only seeing that backlight technology in the most premium sets.
Let's talk a little bit, Carlos, about smart TVs as well, because when they first came out, it'd be, wow, you have to have a smart TV because your dumb TV just isn't going to do it. And then a lot of people realized with additional things, you know, from Roku sticks and Fire sticks and all the different sticks and Chromecasts and whatnot, you didn't really need a smart TV, because if you had these other devices, they sort of made your TV smart. But what is your definition these days as a pro in the business of a smart TV, and why should we look for that, or should we be concerned about making sure our next one is smart?
Yeah, so picture quality is king, and consumers continue to purchase a TV based on the best picture that they see on screen. But smart is really the most exciting development that there is within the TV space, because as we consume content differently and as behaviors change, where mobile content consumption is becoming a bigger play, the televisions just play a bigger role. So what you're seeing now is that most TV sets are smart. They have built-in Wi-Fi. For Vizio, every one of our 2018 models is a smart TV. And what we've done is, over the last 2 years, have really helped to develop our Vizio SmartCast platform to really make it a smart TV platform for all. And understanding that there's different content behaviors, where you have a set of customers that may be your everyday smart TV user that all they want is easy access to Netflix, where you have your consumer who may be deeply integrated with their mobile device, and they consume as much content on their mobile screen as they do on the big screen. And we've created a deep integration with Chromecast built in that allows that user to naturally make the big screen an extension of what they have on their mobile device. And now we've even introduced voice control with Google Assistant and Amazon Alexa support.
And in fact, Carlos, I'm going to ask, if you don't mind holding on a couple of minutes, let us pay a couple of bills. I want to hold you over. It's very rare we do this, but you're fun to talk to. There's so many things to talk about that I want to get back and talk about some of those things, voice control and built-in apps and over the air and the fact that a lot of people are cutting cords these days. So let's do that. But first, we'll do this and come right back as Into Tomorrow continues.
Attention.
Do you have chronic back pain, knee pain, or arthritis? If you have Medicare or private insurance like Aetna, UnitedHealthcare, Humana, or Blue Cross, you may qualify for a safe, drug-free remedy for your everyday back and knee pain, but you must call now. You may be eligible for a pain-relieving back or knee brace at little or no cost to you. These pain relief braces are ideal for back pain, arthritis, sciatica, leg pain, knee pain, and other painful conditions that make life difficult. Our associates will work directly with Medicare or your insurance company for free. Your knee or back brace will be delivered directly to your door. Imagine playing with your grandkids, or enjoying tennis or golf again, call the National Knee and Back Brace Center to qualify for your Medicare or insurance-covered knee or back brace.
Call 800-674-9179. 800-674-9179. 800-674-9179.
Welcome back into Tomorrow. I'm Dave Graveline. We're talking with the Director of Product Marketing for TV for Vizio, Carlos Angulo. And Carlos, you were chatting with us right before the break about things like voice control. We've gotten so into that with our phones, with Siri and Google and with Alexa and with Google Home and Bixby and just so many things now where we can just tell our devices to do something. It's becoming more and more interesting for folks to say, well, why can't I do that with everything else like my TV? So let's talk about voice control with TVs. It's more than just change the channel, right?
Yeah, so voice assistants have really, over the last few months, and maybe let's kind of say 12 months, just from where it began to where it is now, where one out of five homes actually has a smart voice assistant device like mm-hmm. Alexa or a Google Home. And the idea here is that if your TV is going to be the center of your entertainment piece, then why not use something as simple as Alexa or Google Assistant, which is already in many homes out there, and instead of creating a proprietary voice control solution, use the major ecosystems out there to control your TV. So now what you can do is with Google Assistant, for example, while your TV's off, I can say, hey, Google, play House of Cards from Netflix to my living room TV, and it'll actually turn on my TV directly into Netflix, directly into the content that I've asked it for.
Now, that's pretty cool. But do you need, like, smart home hubs first in order to do that, something else in between? Or is the TV actually taking the command now from Google Home or Alexa?
So what's great about it is that it's all dependent on your home Wi-Fi, right? So as long as all the devices are connected to your home Wi-Fi, then they somewhat self-discover themselves, and you can really use it to turn on your TV, to stream content from Netflix, stream content from YouTube, change the volume, change the input. And Google, for example, they've taken it a step further where you can actually use the screen for other things than just streaming. I can say, hey, show me the weather, and it'll show an overlay of what the five-day weather outlook appears to be.
Well, and we've got, I'm actually staring at a Vizio TV right here in our talk studio that it's probably an older one because we've had it in here working beautifully for years, but I'll bet it can't quite do that. So you're a dumb TV. You're dumb. Yeah, it didn't respond. I guess I didn't hurt its feelings. but those are the cool technologies that, again, more and more folks are saying, that's awesome. Why shouldn't I be able to do that? And the fact that you can do so many additional things makes it even more convenient. I mean, now your smart TV is a whole lot smarter than it used to be, and I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it absolutely is one of those things, especially with the voice control, where if you don't have it, you really don't know what you're missing out on, right? But once you do have a voice assistant in your home, the convenience of it is just amazing. You actually can't remember what and how you used to engage with the entertainment devices without it. And I know it sounds really simple, but even something as just someone's knocking on the door and I say, hey, Google, pause my living room TV, and it'll just stop it, right? And without having to fumble and look for the remote. So it's pretty exciting. And actually, just to touch on one point that you made with your TV that's right in front of you, I do want to point out that while our SmartCast TVs don't necessarily, and updates that we push out to Vizio SmartCast don't necessarily get pushed out to our legacy smart TV platform, for any customer that has purchased a Vizio SmartCast TV. Even from the very first set back in 2016, when these features were not available, we are pushing these features out. So our architecture is completely cloud-based, and we are continuing to push these updates out to existing users. So our TVs are getting smarter out in the field. So for customers that did buy a TV in 2016 because it had Chromecast built in, now they have an intuitive big screen app experience. Now they have support for Alexa. Now they have support for Assistant and more and more.
Kudos to you guys, Carlos, at Vizio. I'll bet the cable and satellite companies must hate you, and I love it. I think that's a great thing that you guys are doing. Keep up the good work. Of course, we invite our audience to visit Vizio, VIZIO.com for more. You'll see what Carlos and his team are up to currently and then some. Stay tuned. We'll get you there as well when you hit us up at intotomorrow.com. Carlos, we've got to have you back on again soon. There's still so many things we didn't talk about, and you're fun to have on and chat with. Let's make sure we talk again soon.
Dave, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me. Happy to come back.
Good. Vizio.com for more. I'm Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow continues on the Advanced Media Network.
The OWC Envoy Pro EX with Thunderbolt 3 is the ultimate external SSD optimized for photographers and videographers in need of ultra-fast backup, duplication, and editing. Designed for mobile workflows that demand bus power portability and elite performance, the OWC Envoy Pro EX delivers a military drop-tested enclosure and speeds up to 2600 megabytes per second. The Envoy Pro EX is a powerhouse, inside and out. Learn more about the OWC Envoy Pro EX at OWCDigital.com.
Into Tomorrow continues. When it comes to which streaming services you might want, no one wants or likes everything they offer, whether it's from Amazon Prime, Netflix, Hulu, Discovery, whatever. You get the idea. Well, let us at Into Tomorrow help you make those cable cord-cutting decisions. First thing we'll do is applaud you for cutting the cable. Because it's 2018, you don't need your cable anymore, enough already, unless that's also providing your internet. But you don't need the cable TV part. Let us help you with all kinds of options. I'm Dave Graveline.
I'm Chris Graveline. This portion of Into Tomorrow is brought to you by the OWC Thunderblade. For the creative professional who needs the absolute fastest storage with transfer speeds up to 2,800 megabytes per second. Learn more at OWCDigital.com.
Doug in Stevensville, Michigan, listens to the free Into Tomorrow podcast, where you too can sign up at intotomorrow.com.
I was wondering if you know of an app that tells me where the cell phone towers are and perhaps what the signal strength of the cell phone towers are.
Absolutely, Doug. There aren't any. No, there are some, just not many of them. There's not much of a market for that kind of thing among general consumers. You're interested. I'm interested. Chris always thought it was cool to be able to track that stuff down. A thing called OpenSignal may be your best bet. Now, they provide detailed coverage maps by network sourced from users who run the app and share the information. It'll show you areas where your coverage will be strong and weak and give you some details that you may appreciate. RootMetrics also offers apps that will show you real-world coverage information that could help you pinpoint some towers.
Yeah, CellMapper.net. It's not an app, but it might be the closest option to fitting your needs. It'll map towers by network and give at least some detail about the tower's frequencies. Now, you may be able to find more detail about the towers online in terms of power and frequencies, but not a lot of people are after the details. Most of them want to know how many bars their phones are showing, and that's about it. So you won't have a lot of consumer-oriented apps and sources for that.
So, Doug, it's a great question. I love it. And while we said there aren't many, we gave you several options. And, of course, if you're driving or otherwise others listening want to know the info we shared, visit intotomorrow.com. Look for the show for the weekend of November 2nd, time change weekend, and then hour two. You'll see Doug's call and our response again at intotomorrow.com.